This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
It, you know, people want more and expect more with Huff and everything like that. But the fact that those guys are all in and still
pretty,
playing and Brendan Howard leading, I think that's
awesome. Honestly, yeah. All right, thank you, John. Appreciate it. Yep. We got to take a break. Chris Harrington on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Tennessee Is Not the State I'm In by West Texas musician Joe Ely, who just passed away.
Tennessee's also not the state you're in. You're in Minnesota, where the Grizzlies play tonight in the Twin Cities. First of all, is there a new arena? Do they need a new arena? What's the state of the Timberwolves?
They would like a new arena. I think they're very early in the stages of discussing that because the ownership situation just got resolved.
Right.
And there's been a lot of signals that there's not a lot of interest in taxpayer funding an arena. They have said if we can't get a taxpayer funded arena, we'll build it ourselves.
Oh, they've said that.
They've said that. A, will they really do that? And B, I think people think that will still actually mean hundreds of millions of dollars
right.
in taxpayer money because you'll just taxes you won't collect and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And will people go for that, or where they actually just fund it, And so I don't think anyone knows where all that's headed.
It's in a, great location downtown, obviously. It is weird the way that we just replace arenas. How old is that?
It might be the oldest, or not, other than like Madison Square Garden or whatever. It's one of the older ones. But like I go in there all the time, it seems fine to me. Like I shouldn't feel that way about that. I feel that way about FedEx Forum, honestly.
I think there's
stuff, in terms of systems and bathrooms and plumbing, all that stuff is part of. You have to keep that stuff upgraded, and that costs a lot of money. But from a cosmetic standpoint, like I understand there's stuff they want to do, and Memphis is going to give them money to do it, and like that's fine. But like it seems okay to me. I don't need everything to be the newest, shiniest thing all the time.
And then what are you supposed to do with that old arena if you get a new one? Knock it down, or is it there as a big old empty arena?
I assume they would knock it down. I don't think they would do the Mid-South Coliseum
thing
in the middle of downtown Minneapolis. I don't think they'd do that.
So you'd knock it down.
I don't think anyone's going to make documentaries about how we have to preserve the Target Center.
So that's the state of the arena.
They renovated it in 2017.
What's that?
They spent like at the time they spent like $200 million in 2017 to renovate it.
It's fine. It is a smaller bowl. Like it's a pretty intimate sort of setting, which is in one way good. In the other way, you can feel that it's not the newest thing necessarily. But like I don't know. Again, I think it's fine. But like, what do I know?
And
everything's gotta be new all the time.
All right, that's the state of the arena. What's the state of the team?
The team's good. Anthony Edwards has been out the last couple games. They've also won those two games. He is questionable for tonight. Mike Conley has been ruled out. So John Morant and Anthony Edwards, both questionable with foot/ankle injuries tonight. The Wolves have won, I want to say it's 7 of the last 8. They're still six in the West, but there's a lot of gap between them and the play-in teams. The thing about Minnesota is they have six really good players, and the rest of the roster is not very good. Like, I think they've done a bad job of developing talent on the back end of the roster. It's sort of the opposite problem of the Grizzlies, right? Like if you could, like, meld the teams together and, like, right. You know, have Anthony Edwards with the back half of the Grizzlies roster, I mean, you might have something cooking. But the back half of that roster is not very good. And so, I don't know. That's a team that in the playoffs, if their top six guys are all healthy and they stay healthy throughout the playoffs, maybe they can make another run. But it feels like it's starting to crack up a little bit.
Well, it also feels like that the ceiling has gotten high. Like, it's not so much that they are a lesser version of themselves, although maybe they are because of some of the lack of depth. But it's also now you have these debt. Like, it feels like Oklahoma City and Denver and maybe even Houston. Like, there's just teams that are better.
Yeah, I sort of feel like they're in a spot where this may be the last hurrah sort of with this group, and they're going to have to figure out how to transition the team around Anthony Edwards. And that's going to be harder for them to do when they missed on these guys. And it's one thing to miss. I mean, everybody misses on guys, right? But they haven't had a lot of darts to throw, and none of them have really hit, you know? I mean, the one big one was jumping up into the lottery for...
Yeah. If you look back at the Dillingham, now they didn't need Zach Edey in that draft, right? If you look back at the Dillingham pick.
Yeah, but then this year they took a center.
Oh, you're right.
So, like, you need talent, right? Yeah,
right.
They were specifically thinking, what is our transition from Mike Conley to the next point guard, and this is how we're getting it? Yes, that is what they did with Rob Dillingham.
And they whiffed. It's a little
bit. So far, there. Looks that way.
Yeah. For the Grizzlies, they got a little bit of a – I mean, you'll hope – the good news is that Ja Morant is questionable. And so that was a happy turn of events. As you said yesterday, it looked – his reaction looked bad when he injured it. But then there he was sitting on the bench, and so we'll see. But then Brandon Clark and Ja Morant, both questionable. Cam Spencer out for personal reasons. Pat Spencer has also been ruled out for the Golden State's next game, so it seems like it's a family situation, thinking of the right. Spencer family. But I guess we'll – it seems like likely, I guess, to see Ja and Brandon Clark make his return.
I feel like it's likely to see Brandon Clark. I don't know about Ja. I know we've internalized that questionable means you play, right. And that used to be true. That has not been as consistently true in the past year or so. They've gone away from the certainty of those questionable, doubtful situations. So I don't know on Morant.
Right.
The fact that Spencer's out, maybe that puts more pressure on having him out there, because otherwise Vince Williams is literally the only guard you have for 48
right.
minutes.
You got Meshack playing point guard, right? Is that what's going to
happen? Right, right. Yeah. I mean, you don't even have Javon Small, you know. You don't even have John Conchar as emergency back of the point guard. So you're in a rough spot if Vince Williams is the only guard who plays. So maybe Morant plays. But, you know, it's one game after that injury. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play. I would not be surprised by that.
The timing works out because you were doing your countdown of the greatest Grizzlies
yep.
of the 25 years, and number 17 is Brandon Clark, and it works perfectly because A, he's making his return, we presume, tonight, and B, he's making his return to the site of his greatest moments as a Grizzly.
No one has a higher opinion of Brandon Clark than Chris Finch. I can
right?
probably not even Brandon Clark's own mother has a higher opinion of him as a basketball player than Chris Finch. Chris Finch, I remember in the past, has gone out of his way to, like, oh, that guy, you know, because he killed them in that playoff series. And they remember that, and they credit him for being the guy who killed them in that playoff series from a matchup perspective. So, yeah, the peak of Brandon Clark's career was he stepped up when Taylor Jenkins deemed Steven Adams unplayable. And then the Xavier Tillman magic lasted about one game, and then he was basically didn't do much. That was a Brandon Clark series. And the last two games of that series, he totaled 70 minutes, which he just doesn't do. He played 37 minutes in one of those games and averaged a double-double, 60% from the floor, and was just great in that playoff series. One of only four playoff series the Grizzlies have won.
And so that was – well, how many years ago now? Two and a half? Was it three? Well, how many years ago was that? And then,
more like three and a half.
Yeah,
I think.
Then it was the next year he got injured. Right?
Well, among the years he's gotten injured,
right.
Yeah, that was
yes,
one of them.
The first injury, the Denver.
The last two playoffs the Grizzlies have played, Brandon Clark got injured late in the regular season and missed those playoffs. the series against the Lakers, and then last year the series against the Thunder.
All right. So in terms of his history, you mentioned that series. You've put him 17 on the Grizzlies' top 25 list, and is you're calling him the Grizzlies' all-time sixth man?
Yeah, on the list. Maybe this is a spoiler. I don't think it is. For those hoping that John Conchar would still show up, and there's at least one person out there, Brandon Clark is the highest-ranked player on this list who played the majority of his minutes majority of his games with the Grizzlies off the bench. Tyus Jones also qualifies, but he's already been on the list.
I mean, obviously, like Mike Miller won a sixth man of the year, so in that year he was a sixth man, but mostly Mike Miller was a starter. Right, yeah.
Right. Yeah, he started a majority of his games.
Brandon Clark, 48 starts in 307 games. The thing that actually struck me most from the piece was the stat. Let's see if Jeffrey knows. Jeffrey, so Brandon Clark is in year seven as a Grizzly. Only four players have played eight or more years as a Grizzly. Who are they?
So Mark and Mike. Oh, boy. I'm going to say going back. God, who else? I don't think Powell made it eight, right?
Powell is not on the list.
I don't think Zebo made it eight, right?
Zebo is on the list.
Zebo and then?
Zebo and Jaren.
Jaren.
That's kind of amazing. Yeah.
Jaren's in year eight, and Zebo played eight. Zebo was in all 7 years of that seven-year playoff run, and then he was on the team the season before that started.
Brandon Clark has this year and next. How many more years left? He will likely, because he's not particular. He will likely make it to eight, yes. He's not a particularly tradable commodity. I mean, whatever.
Everybody's tradable. Right. Like the contract's $12 million, so it could be included in a trade, even if it's not the feature or it's the featured part of a trade. And so, yeah, we'll see.
What does one expect from Brandon Clark?
Tonight, I expect like maybe 12 minutes, like if he plays. Right. I mean, they always have players on minutes restrictions, but Brandon Clark doesn't even play 20, like, in normal time most of the time, right? So I would assume if he plays, I'm guessing he will, he'll get short, you know, three to four minute stretches, you know, that kind of thing, and see what it looks like and take it from there. And so I assume he'll come off the bench and play, you know, 10 to 16 minutes, somewhere in that range. That would be my guess for him tonight. And then you want to see him look healthy. You don't need to see him, like, exploding off the floor for power dunks. You didn't even see that last year when he came back from the injury. Right.
Didn't he?
That was one of the things about Clark last year, is that the dunks were way down, but his shooting percentage in the paint was actually up. He adjusted his game away from the above-the-rim stuff and was still really good. He was hitting the floater. He was playing great defense, switchable defense on the perimeter, and he just sort of really revealed himself as a really talented basketball player, even if he wasn't getting above the rim consistently. And I think that is what you hope. Not that he gets back to the Brandon Clark of 4 years ago.
Right.
But can he get back to Brandon Clark of last year?
Well, one of the things you point out in the piece is one of the things that's made him so effective is that he pairs particularly well with Ja and particularly well with Jaren, who, by the way, don't always pair particularly well with each other. It's an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, and with the Jaren thing in particular, obviously they're great friends off the court. That's become apparent. And their games mesh, and I think he sort of lifts Jaren's spirits a little bit too. And I think, I mean, Jaren's coming off like his best game of the season, and it's been great defensively two of the last three. But you've had this wonky thing with lineups where the stuff with him and Landale hasn't worked as great. And so I think, you know, Brandon Clark coming back could be a boost to Jaren, and I think that would be great for the Grizzlies.
If the Grizzlies, by the way, were looking for a place to have dinner in the Twin Cities, where would you send them?
I mostly cook. No one's footing my bill. We're not eating out all the time, you know? So I don't know. The places I go to aren't the kind of places they'd want to go to anyway. And I don't like spend a lot of time in downtown Minneapolis either. So I don't know.
You've written about what's happening in Memphis film this week. The latest Avatar movie is out, Fire and Ash. It's interesting. You said about the two previous two, which are, by the way, I was surprised and reminded to hear that they're the highest and third highest grossing movies ever. You said they are both, given that, oddly divorced from the wider culture. What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't feel like they're like, I don't think people talk about them and think about them and make jokes about them and like, not like, you know, the Marvel movies when they were big, or the Star Wars movies,
or even Batman.
Or Harry Potter, or all kinds of other similar kinds of stuff, right? They just seem so self-contained. They seem like the self-contained thing that obviously tons of people around the world go to the theaters to see. It was funny. I wrote that, and I got a note from one of our coworkers who said, actually, my boyfriend and I just rewatched the both Avatar movies on Disney last week. So, like, I guess there are people out there who do that. But I don't get the sense, to me, there's not a fandom around it that's quite the same. Like, I don't see people like, you know, like Zach Eady doesn't have
movies that were that successful. Right.
Yeah. Like Zach Eady has a Harry Potter wallet. He doesn't have an Avatar wallet, you know? Like I don't see people walking around with Avatar t-shirts or whatever. To me, it's a bizarrely self-contained thing, and I liken it almost to sort of an amusement attraction more than cinema, really.
Did you like them?
I liked them during the 2.5 hours I was sitting in the theater seat, and then I didn't think about them again after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I hadn't thought about them a lick since, you know?
All right, what is, what's The Housemaid?
So The Housemaid is it's a thriller. From the trailer, it seems like maybe a comic thriller, but that's not the way it's described on the internet that I've consulted, because I have not seen it. And it's Sydney Sweeney, who keeps looking to find a movie people will care about as much as they care about the idea of her, takes a job as a live-in maid with a couple, Amanda Seyfried, the woman in the couple. And there's some kind of, like, you know, erotic thriller mystery component to it. I have not seen it. The trailer looks interesting. Looks like it could be good, but I find it odd how much they just kept it under wraps, which is not always a great sign.
And then two Christmas movies come up in the piece you've written. One is a Die Hard is showing somewhere. Where's Die Hard showing?
Die Hard showed at the library.
At the library. And you have declared it to be a Christmas movie?
I mean, that's just sort of a joke. People call Die Hard a Christmas movie. Right, who am I to argue?
Right. Okay. I didn't know if you had a firm opinion about that. It's a Wonderful Life is a Christmas movie. It is showing at the Orpheum, and you recommend that as an experience and as a film.
I think it's one of the great movies. Period. One of the great things in American culture. Period. Beyond just movies, to me, it's interesting how much it's portrayed as like the heartwarming family Christmas classic, which it is. But it's also like a lot of other stuff. There's a lot of else there, too. Like, there's a real darkness to it, a real anguish to that movie. To me, this is a really intense, incredible movie. I think it's actually underrated in a lot of ways.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Herrington will be in the house tonight in Minnesota. Have you been to Minnesota, Jeffrey?
I have.
When have you been to Minnesota?
I definitely went through college. It used to be a place that we'd fly through a lot, you know.
I don't count that.
Yeah, I know.
Don't count the Minnesota airport as
I did a golf trip up there, like
a golf trip.
Minneapolis and then Milwaukee. Yeah.
The Grizzlies still fighting to get to 500. They got the Wizards. They got the Wizards this weekend. So if you could somehow, when is the Wizards game? Wednesday?
Saturday.
Saturday. If you could somehow steal this one, Jeffrey.
You seem to be high on this game. I don't know why.
I'm not high on it. No. I'm saying then you can beat the Wizards and be 500.
I mean, I would sign up for that. I do not have high expectations tonight.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, some years are abundant years for the Tigers and the Grizzlies both.
Sure.
Right? And then some years one up and one is down.
Yep.
It feels like right now we're both struggling. They're both in different different reasons struggling. Does that not?
No, I think that's fair. I also think, though, with the Tigers, it's like just get them to conference play, and I think you'll realize the rest of the league.
They're pretty damn good. You think they're just going to roll?
I think they're going to be pretty good.
Well, maybe that's what they need. Maybe that's what they need, just beating the hell out of a bunch of teams.
I mean, I actually do wonder if there is – so let's say John's right. Getting people in the building is just going to be a problem no matter what. Are you better off just scheduling to win?
Well, I do think that I mean, again, this is all gets to identity.
Yeah.
You know, we've had this. Well, we're going to, if you are going to be a team that where Louisville and Tennessee and Vanderbilt are peers, you can schedule Louisville and Vanderbilt. And if Tennessee ever agrees, Tennessee, right? But if they're not, if you can't build a team that can look across the floor at that other team and be a coin flip, then why the hell schedule them?
I mean, I think they're, view would be is this is how they build the resume, but like
it is how they build a resume if you are capable correct. Of beating them, right?
Like that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean that is absolutely the problem. All right, Sam Hardiman coming up next. If you're selling your house in 2026, I would recommend Josh Hysaw, Keller Williams Realty, and it can be daunting to sell your house, but maybe you've decided to upsize, maybe you've decided to downsize, maybe you're moving into town, maybe you're moving out of town. Whatever it is, one of the tricky things is you don't know how much your house is going to sell for, and you don't know, put it on the market, you don't know when it will sell. I've seen houses out there hanging out there month after month after month after month after month. And Josh Hysaw can simplify that. Lots of people are calling you and texting you and saying, instant cash offer for your home. So they're simplifying it too. They're simplifying it by giving you whatever, 30% less than your house is worth. That's not the approach that Josh Hysaw takes. He's a local real estate agent, and what he'll do is come out to your house, and if he thinks the house will sell for more the conventional way, he'll certainly tell you that. But otherwise, he will give you a cash offer for your home that will reflect the actual market value of your home, and then you got 4 months to hand over the keys. So if you are selling your house in 2026, or even here, maybe at the tail end of 2025, Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, joshhasthebuyers.com. Back with Sam Hardiman. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. joined now by Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian, where he covers the city. But, of course, we have more important matters to talk about, which is even as I fled the scene because I couldn't bear to watch when the Pats went up 21-0, my beloved Bills returned, rallied to defeat the Pats. And I'm sure it was a little bit of a blow, I'm sure, for you, Sam. But don't you take great comfort in knowing you're still going to win the AFC East?
I'm just baffled by your relationship with your football team, largely. But I do.
It's trauma. Go ahead.
Yeah, you and my father both fled the scene. Like you were like, I'm doing whatever you were doing, and then my dad's like,
Costco.
You know, they're probably. Yeah, you went to Costco. That's good. Yeah, there were probably like 2 inches of snow on the ground that could have waited until the next day in Rhode Island, and my dad's like, I'm gonna go shovel the driveway. You know, it's like, all right, all you ran away. And yeah, it wasn't great to watch. I sat there and you know, I did some cleaning. I think I replaced some light bulbs during this process. The Patriots had one good offensive play in the second half. It was the Trayvon Henderson touchdown, and the rest of their drives were so ineffectual. Anyway, it's all good. We're going to win the division.
So you are going to win the division because you would have to lose to either the Pats or the Jets or the Dolphins, and that seems unlikely. It was an interesting question, though. They were asking on Sportsmanlike, the show that precedes this one. They were sort of talking about quarterback and coach combinations in the league right now, and they didn't phrase it exactly this way, but if I gave every fan base the chance right now, you're starting from scratch, and you could have a quarterback-coach combination starting today and into the future, is there any quarterback-coach combination you would take over Drake May and Mike Vrabel?
Oh, I don't know. I think there's definitely – I mean, as a homer, no. I mean, definitely not. But at the same time, D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud's pretty good. Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, pretty good. I'm not so sold. I wouldn't take those. I'm not sure I wouldn't take Harbaugh and Herbert.
You could still take Mahomes and Andy Reid, like whatever. Because we're not even giving you the rest of the team. We're just and who knows how long they'll be there. But like they have won Super Bowls in a way that Vrabel, Drake May has not. Jeffrey, what's the correct answer there right now? You don't have the rest of the roster. You just literally, this is what you get to start with, a coach and a quarterback. Who are you taking? Someone suggested Denver and
ew.
Gross.
I thought you. Right.
So the other argument also for, it's not just Drake May and Vrabel. It's the fact that what I think is great for May is you have an offensive coordinator in McDaniels that's probably not getting another head coaching gig.
Well, that's
so
true,
he's going to have his play
you're
caller
adding,
for
you're
pretty much
another element to this. I'm just giving you the coach in the head.
I think probably May and Vrabel's the answer. I think Vrabel's a proven entity.
Don't close the door on Josh McDaniels as an NFL coach. He will get another opportunity.
Or, by the way, are we overrating coaching here? In other words, should you take, even though no one thinks McDermott's in that category, should you, in fact, again, the Pats in many ways, one of the advantages is the rest of the roster is just as good or better than the Bills, and they have more flexibility going forward. But if you're just starting, we're just saying quarterback and coach, should you, in fact, just take Josh Allen and McDermott? Because what is most important is or Mahomes, because the most important is you have the quarterback, and those guys are both going to play another 10 years, you know?
I think you should have quarterback and replacement level coach. I think the problem with Vrabel is clearly not replacement level. Like when we start to get to this idea of like Andy Reid was probably underrated for most of his career, and now you see once you pair him with a quarterback, it's like he has an argument for one of the best of all time. I think Vrabel's in that category.
Yeah.
I mean, I still, at the same time, Sean McDermott, you know, there is something to be said for the continuity they've had. How many coordinators they've gone through.
Totally
how many?
Underrated. I do think
McDermott
totally
is definitely
underrated.
If you look at it, there's only one other AFC coach since McDermott's been there, and that includes the Tyrod era, everything. There's one coach in the AFC that has more wins.
Well,
Andy Reid.
What's interesting is that it is true. If you get a Super Bowl, it is like, it is because what's Harbaugh? Like,
John Harbaugh
is
the perfect
better
example.
Than McDermott? Like, where's the evidence? Except for he does have a Super Bowl. Like, you win a Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, you know, it life looks different for you. All right, I think you should feel guilty though. The fact that you had the run that you had with Brady, and then you had this little interregnum, but not long, of not a good football team, and now you already have this pairing who could carry you into the next decade, I think is a reason for penance on your part. I don't think you deserve it, with all due respect, Sam, and I like you.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
I mean, doesn't this also bring into...
It's pathetic. Well, you have to deal with the Patriots again? This is crazy.
I think what we also overlook is we focus on coach and whatnot. It's like ownership matters. Like, the good franchises are good franchises for a reason.
I guess. They got a quarterback. They, in the end, got a quarterback.
Like, they did, but, like, they also course-corrected. Like, they
course-corrected and lucked into a quarterback.
And, like, they
did go get
and
the
they lucked into the fact that Mike Vrabel didn't have a job. And yeah, they were true. Willing
they had to
get
pull
off
the plug.
Mayo,
yeah, they had
smart.
To, yeah, that was smart. To pull the plug after 1 year. And then
I think there's an argument. Gerard Mayo might be one of the worst head coaches we've ever seen.
Right. All right, let's move on to other matters. The firefighters got their raise. Firefighters got their raise after the squabble.
That's correct. That's correct. The Memphis City Council voted last night to give Memphis firefighters a 2% raise, which will cost taxpayers about $1.7 million. This was after the Memphis City Council and the city put a 3% raise for all city employees in the city budget. But the Firefighters Association of the City of Memphis in 2024 had agreed to a 5% raise in this very fiscal year. And so the firefighters sued, saying it was a violation of the contract, bringing us to this end-of-year compromise, which presumably will end the litigation I just mentioned.
By the way, before I get to other matters, because you had a couple big stories since we last spoke, but Bill Drees had a piece today where he talked about it talked about the money was diverted from tennis to golf to build a new club. What's happening with the golf at the city of Memphis now and the new club?
Yeah. So this is an interesting story, and we'll talk about it, I think, more, and I'll write about it more here at the Daily Memphian. But essentially, there is leftover money from the Leftwich Tennis Center project, okay, in the city budget, in city capital improvement dollars, about $3.5 million, and the city is allocating. That's a little more than that. I'm sorry. But the city is allocating most of that money towards the first piece of the city's contribution to the Ottoman Clubhouse. The Ottoman Clubhouse is going to be a $14 million project born equally by the city of Memphis and First Tee Foundation of Tennessee, Tennessee Golf Foundation, I believe. And so it's going to be the headquarters for First Tee in Memphis. And the Tennessee Golf Foundation is going to contribute $7 million. The city is going to contribute $7 million. So this money being reallocated from Leftwich is going to Ottoman, which is obviously right next door, is the first contribution towards that clubhouse. There's also some money going in there from the Leftwich project to Bellevue Tennis Center, which is on Orgel Avenue in South Memphis. I played there last week. And renovations to that. And Jesse Turner Park, which has several ball fields and basketball courts that really do need something. And Jesse Turner Park is a place that I've been around throughout my time in Memphis, has really not seen really any investment. So that's what that money's going to.
It's nice to just hear honestly about leftover money and also things that are done well, because you have another story of Liberty Park that we're going to get to in a minute. But like, this feels like these are good things, right? I mean, you've talked before about the golf facilities at Memphis have really been dramatically improved, and obviously it's not the most important thing in a community or in a city, but Leftwich Tennis Center is world class. Like, it is, the city can do things that are good, actually, right? Everything doesn't turn to mush.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And the idea, I think, that, you know, this clubhouse at the city, you know, is contributing half the money into, and look, we're having private contribution to this, which is a very significant thing. And there was significant private contribution to Leftwich as well that we shouldn't overlook. But that's important. These things are in the center of the city. And, you know, in one way you could look at that as the rich getting richer, the wealthier parts of the city getting the great things. But you could also look at it from the perspective of, here are public amenities in the heart of the city of Memphis that anyone can really access. And so there's that double-edged coin, but it's certainly positive. Absolutely.
You had an important story earlier in the week on Liberty Park. It required some of what you do best, your granular examination of the financials. What is happening, just like the big picture for folks, and they can read the story at the Daily Memphian, what is happening with the development at Liberty Park, and indeed the ongoing expense to Memphis taxpayers of Liberty Park.
Yeah, so to back everybody up, Liberty Park is essentially a taxing district. Liberty Park is the old Mid-South Fairgrounds, but the city created, with the state's help, a taxing district around old Mid-South Fairgrounds that stretches into Cooper Young, stretches into Overton Square, includes Crosstown, includes parts of Broad Avenue, so places where there's a lot of business and commerce conducted, to say the least. And they created this taxing district with the idea that Memphis Sports and Events Center, which is the glorious, beautiful new facility over at Liberty Park, where, you know, basketball tournaments are played. There was the Nike EYBL tournament this past year. The city borrowed money from this taxing district, saying that the growth in this taxing district is going to pay for the bonds on Liberty Park and on the Memphis Sports and Events Center. We are now in the third year of paying bonds on Liberty Park, and never once has that taxing district generated sales tax revenue. That very long preface is to then explain to people that there is a piece of land, city-owned land, on Central Avenue, facing north, on the north side of Liberty Park, the old fairground, that the city for years has been trying to create as a private development opportunity. Essentially, the plan has been, for almost as long as I've been in Memphis, for a hotel, an entertainment venue, and some apartments at that piece of land. And here we are, the city said in May during this EYBL tournament, well, I'm struggling to say that, I don't know why, during that tournament that there would be a ribbon cutting quarter four of 2025, by all accounts, has a couple days left in it. That ribbon cutting isn't happening. And so what we did at the Daily Memphian, and please go read this story, go support our work, is we went through what the city has spent on that $20 acre piece of property at the edge of Liberty Park. And we examined really what happened and how much money is still being spent every year trying to bring development to that piece of land. And so that's the story in a nutshell.
Just real quick. So what did this is to pay off. Is this to pay for the event center? A large part. What did the event center cost to build?
The event center cost to build probably about $70 million. The taxpayer paid the general contractor to turn construction about $54. There was architecture and engineering. There was other stuff, about $70 million. We, the taxpayer, issued $69 million worth of bonds, which over time actually come out to about $116 million with interest. And so that's what the city has invested in Liberty Park.
And this is supposed to be paid for, this taxing district. It's not all sales tax revenue. It's only in the increase. You need the sales tax revenue to be bumped up, and the difference can then be used to pay off these bonds. Is that how it works?
That is exactly it, Jess. Exactly. So the money that's getting generated in Overton Park that was equal to the Overton Square, that was equal to the past, still goes to the state and still goes to Shelby County and the city of Memphis. It's the growth. You need growth in this.
And that's why we need a
district.
Hotel, is we need a hotel for the growth and whatever.
Exactly.
What's it costing the taxpayers now, since there isn't sales tax money that's being raised to pay this? What does it cost taxpayers, either on an annual basis, broadly speaking?
Yeah, so far what is the taxpayers have paid for is about $9.7 million in debt payments so far on Liberty Park. The taxing district so far has only generated $608,000 in revenue. So the city has had to find $9.1 million to pay those bonds. Okay. That's the first cost. And throughout that period of time, the city has also spent a significant amount of money on a project management consultant for this private development opportunity to bring more of the sales tax in. And that is one of the things we cover in our story, this right. Company Fairgrounds Partners receives about $70,000 a month, plus about $5,000 in travel expenses every month to fly, because one of the pieces of the joint venture is a Florida-based company called Viesta, which is also working on AutoZone Park, and they fly into the market, and so the city pays that bill as well.
And what is the hope for this hotel? Like, do we have a sense of, is it going to happen? Will who it might be?
We've been told we journalists and everyone in the city has been told for a long time, the city is planning about 150 room Hampton Inn with Capstone, which is a Maryland based developer. And then M&M Enterprises, a local developer, is a joint venture. We'll be building apartments. It's 150 room Hampton Inn. Norm Jenkins, the president of Capstone, and James Macklin, the CEO of M&M, did not get back to me when I called this past week and said, hey, what's going on with this project? Where are we? And so, and the city is essentially blaming the delay on the more macro environment, tough hotel market, et cetera, and saying that the development is still on track and is still going to happen.
I mean, the hope would be, right, like folks going to football games and going to the event center would want to stay at a local hotel. Isn't that the notion? But obviously, if there were a massive demand for it, it would be being built.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the notion. I mean, the city at this point in hard cost to make that development ready to happen, okay, has also invested $11.5 million into the property itself. That means sewer, that means architecture work, that means utility relocation. All that stuff has already happened and has been paid for by city taxpayers. And so it's a matter of when is the private sector going to say, okay, it's investable.
Sam, I want to talk to you more about XAI as well, but I can't because I'm running out of time. So I'll just urge people to go over to the Daily Memphian and read Sam's piece on Liberty Park, and then also on the XAI and the air permits. All of that. You've been busy, Sam. Thank you so much for making time to pop on with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye bye.
We got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I have a spot for Robert Irwin Jewelers here, but I talked about it earlier. Like, I had such a good time yesterday at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Just the best. Just the best. So, I mean, all the things I always say, which is they've got incredible financing. They got unbelievable deals. They're just so – I saw a young man shopping for an engagement ring there, and he had been all over town looking for the right shape, color, whatever else. And the degree to which they bend over backwards to make it happen for you at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Listen, if you are shopping for jewelry this week, head to Robert Irwin Jewelers. We have so many things we haven't talked about, Jeffrey. Tua has been benched.
Okay.
There's that.
Or Quinn Ewers.
And then also, Adam Silver talked about expansion. And in the course of talking about expansion, he also talked about relocation, said they would make a decision about expansion, largely with Las Vegas and Seattle in mind, in 2026. He did say some things about, like the Athletic story specifically mentioned Memphis and New Orleans in terms of relocation. This is what his quote was. Just because some markets don't generate the same revenue as others, it doesn't mean they are markets that are not worthy of NBA franchises. If you look in our Constitution, the factors that the owners are required to look at in making determination on whether to relocate a team is to look at the support the team has historically had in that community, the operation of that team, the competitive opportunity in that market. And we live in a big country, so I think if we were to relocate a team, I don't think the right way to do it would be to rank the teams 1 to 30 in terms of market size or economic opportunity, and then just take the two teams at the bottom and let's take them to markets that are more prosperous.
Well, that's good to hear.
I thought it was good to hear.
That's the first comments he's made
that
publicly.
That's also, by the way, of putting pressure on Portland
for sure.
And Minnesota. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, just because you're at the bottom, we don't think we can move you. You know what I mean? Like, the Portland situation could be another live one. Anyway, we got to get out of here, it turns out. We'll be back tomorrow, though. What's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Coach Hurd will join their program, as will Raheem Palmer and Rob Doster. Jason Munns will join Coach Hurd and myself on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Cobb with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Vandy and Tigers tonight at 6 p.m. So don't be wandering in at 7 and think you're going to be there for the tip. 6 p.m. We'll be here to talk about it tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.